For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, welcome to a very fun episode of TFL Car Chat. And I've got the right person for the job next to me, my man Andre.
Yo, what up?
The managing director, editor of TFL Truck, because Andre, today we're talking about our favorite cars from each brand. So you are the perfect person to talk about the cars that we love. And I say that in jest, of course, but you know, you're here at the office, you see the cars come and go, you get to drive some of them. So it's not such a far-fetched idea to have you on this show.
No, and I've been around the block last 12 years, you know, in most cars.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited about this because...
I say you've been more than around the block. I think you've been farther than just around the block in most cars.
I've been around the country. You remember Motor Mountain USA?
I remember.
Trip where we went to every state in 1 year?
Yeah.
Every single state.
Yeah, we got to spend a lot of quality time in the Wrangler. That was the old one. That was the JK. But today we're going to be talking about what cars we love from each brand. But before we get to that, let's just chat about what we're doing in the next few weeks because it's going to be crazy busy. So Andre and I on Monday are heading over to Vegas for SEMA.
Exactly. And I love this time of year, right? Because it kind of November is being kicked off, of course, with SEMA. And it's always crazy, but it's always a whirlwind of news and new vehicles.
Yeah. And what did you talk about this week on the truck podcast?
Yeah, actually, our buddy Nathan, we were chatting about what Toyota mostly is doing because we had a lot of news coming out of Toyota, and they're chopping roof off of the Land Cruiser. They have a concept called the Rocks with a topless machine, and also they're chopped the roof off of a 4Runner as well.
So if you're going to want to stay tuned because we will be doing a full video on those vehicles because Toyota, kindly enough, to my surprise, still likes us. And they threw us out to SEMA to go cover their concepts. And the one that really I think most people are interested in is a new FJ.
Yeah. And they have several vehicles. Some of them we haven't even talked about because there's some embargoes still in place when you're listening to this episode. And also, of course, you know, Ford is there. Well, Ford is there bringing several vehicles. There are several other manufacturers bringing vehicles. And also the entire world of SEMA as well.
Yeah, and then stay tuned for next week because what we'll do for this channel and podcast is we're going to do our Roman and Andre patented walk around of SEMA. So SEMA starts on Monday. So Monday we'll have all or as many of the Toyota video shot. And then we got to get them, of course, published. And then Tuesday our plan is to do a walk around for both TFL the Talking Trucks podcast and Car Chat and show you the coolest and hottest things from SEMA and get that video published so that you could be the first to see what is actually going on at SEMA. So I think that's going to be a busy week for us, isn't it?
And I'm excited to see our friends, industry friends. WaySafe is going to be there. They're going to have a humongous display. And also, you know, industry folks like, you know, journalists and also, of course, partners and industry people.
Well, we have Match and Stellantis. They're also going to be there. They're there every year.
Mopar, yes.
Yeah, so we'll have
lots
some
of Mopar.
We'll have some for all you Mopar fans out there. We'll have a lot of Mopar coverage.
Yeah.
And then after that, the following week, I'm going to BMW Test Fest.
Which is another huge event.
Yeah, I'm super psyched for that. So that is basically, we get to go down to their factory in Spartanburg, and they're going to have most BMW vehicles for all of us
that they have available, right?
For all of us to drive. So I can't wait to go and check out, you know, the new M5. You know, there's been a lot of talk about that, right? People are saying, we just had, there was just a guy here with the last generation M5,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the crazy thing about the new M5, it's a hybrid, but it weighs so much more.
It's like a truck.
But it does. It weighs
as much as some pickup trucks.
It does. And so the rub, and you know, we haven't test driven them. We haven't got our hands on one. But everybody's basically saying, especially the estate version, which I don't know if we're going to get. Probably not. Maybe.
The wagon,
yeah, yes, as we like to call it here in America, is just so big and heavy that it actually might be slower than the previous gen.
Well, but it has insane power, right? Insane amount of power.
Yeah, and the one that really I can't wait to get my hands on is the new M2. I've just read and seen, really, it comes in this like robin's egg blue color, which I love. I'm just a sucker for that. And I can't wait to get behind the wheel of the new M2, because let's face it, the new M2 is really the old M3, because everything got so much bigger that the M2 is kind of the spiritual successor to the M3.
And while you're there, I'm on the other coast the following week there, at the Sierra EV event. So we'll have more GMC stuff and videos for you guys to watch and follow. I'll get to tow a big trailer in public, not at the course, you know, not at the closed track, but actually towing on highways in California.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your car. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your car, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your car hassle-free and fast, go to tflcar.com and click Sell Your Car in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
And for those of you guys and gals who are fans of TFL and you've been watching our channels, you'll note that we've got two new teammates.
Yes.
Jen and Mary. Mary is a videographer / editor / you put her on camera. And of course, Jen is a new reviewer. And Mary is going on that program with you. So it'll be her first
her first event.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
I'm sure she's going to be excited.
Yeah.
And where's that at, you said?
That's the Bay Area of we're flying into San Francisco.
Wait, you're driving a pickup truck in the Bay Area? Seems
that's
a little...
That's a perfect place for a pickup truck.
Yeah. You're going to go down... What's that street called? The bendy one?
No, I'm not going to go down Lombard Street.
Okay.
But I am going to go... we're going to go to the wine country and just... You know, they need trucks there to move the wine, right?
They need big trucks to move the wine. Hey, by the way, Andre, I got to give a shout out to... I've been on Prime and I've been watching this video... series called what's it called?
It's Jade.
Called Jade Fever. Thank
you. Oh, Jade Fever.
Yeah, it's hilarious. So it's on Prime. I think it used to be like. It's a bunch of family members who have mined jade in British Columbia over the last 50 years, and so they go out into the Canadian wilderness down this incredibly hard, rutted, bogged out muddy road to go to their claim so that they can mine jade. But what I love about that show is that they have these old military trucks that they have to get down this road pulling incredibly heavy roads. So if you like seeing trucks off-road, it's great. And then there's this other character out there called Scrappy Larry. He runs a scrapyard and he's got a collection of all kinds of crappy old trucks. And then they have rock trucks, which are these Caterpillar trucks that are, split. What's that called when they've been
articulated?
Articulated. And so if you love seeing big machinery like excavators and bulldozers like digging around in mud, and if you love seeing trucks going through some of the hardest conditions ever, like 6x6, I think Scrappy Larry has a 10x10. then this is the show for you.
So, I haven't seen it, dude, but you describing the show, I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah, watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
It's on Prime. The first, there's seven seasons.
Whoa, seven seasons?
Yeah, seven seasons. And the first season, they're mining near their, they have a jade store somewhere in BC, Nowhere, BC. And they're mining kind of close to that. And then the second season, they decide that they're going to go and try to find jade on their claim, which is 120 kilometers down this incredibly tough dirt road. So if you like seeing trucks in mud, you know, getting stuck and getting blowouts.
You describing this reminds me of Siberia a little
bit.
Yeah,
it's like that.
Because
yeah,
it's like almost impassable, like dirt trails or they, muddy trails.
They do so many sketchy things, like stuff that you would normally never do. Because, you know, you're kind of, you know, we're living in civilized and you got to do things right. But they're very
in the wilderness.
They have no choice. So they're very resourceful. But I was watching, they had this military truck towing like 80,000 pounds down this road and it got a flat. So normally you probably unhitch, right? Not these guys. Just a winch up the military truck. Take this like 400-pound tire, take it off. It's hilarious and sketchy and fun. And just a really good show for all you truck fans. All right. So after
that
BMW Test Fest, I think that's when me and you again hit
Los
the road.
Angeles.
Yes, for the LA Auto Show. And I think there's some cool cars. What do you know? What's coming so far? I think there's a...
Well, Hyundai is going to be there. VW is going to be there.
Hyundai's going to be there with the hydrogen car.
Yes. VW is going to be there. So there's a lot of excitement. And... You know, my focus is really on SEMA right now, so my brain is a little bit foggy as far as everything that's coming to Los Angeles. But we're going to be there covering the show.
Yeah, so lots going on. This is a really good time of year for us. Well, maybe it's a very busy time of year for us. And it's really incredible to be able to go and test drive every BMW, including, I think, some of the motorcycles. I may have to bring my helmet and my gear. So I'm looking forward to that. All right, shall we talk about what we think are the best cars from each brand? We're going to do this alphabetically. And Andre, I don't know if we can actually get through all the cars.
Yeah, how much time do you have, Roman? 2 hours, 4 hours?
It might be a long one.
5 hours?
But let's start alphabetically. I've got the brands here listed and some of the most popular cars that they sell. So obviously we have to start with Acura because it starts with an A and goes right to the C. And the most popular cars that Acura sells are, of course, the crossovers, the RDX, and then, of course, the bigger MDX, the three-row. I think those account, as with most brands, for over 50% of their sales. But for me, the one to get, if you're going to go for an Acura, is the new Integra.
Really? You're not going for the crossover?
I'm not going for the crossover.
Okay.
I'm past the crossover stage in my life. The kids
are growing up.
The kids are going to be having their own kids. God, I'm dating myself. But the Integra is kind of the grown-up version of the Honda Civic in various forms. So there are two, right?
Integra. Yeah. I mean, there's a, like you said, I mean, it's kind of a little bit more fancy and maybe a little bit more sophisticated Honda. But the Integra, I mean, they have two versions. They have a 1.5-liter turbo, and of course they have the 2-liter turbo. So it's basically kind of the SI equivalent, and also the Type R. But of course they're calling it, you know, just different names. But just looking at some of these pictures, Roman, I mean, this is a nice vehicle.
Well, I like the gear shift.
6-speed manual. I mean, yeah, come on.
And unlike the, you know, the Type R Civic, which this is based on, you can actually fit if you're wide-bodied. I'm being nice to myself, Andre.
Wide-bodied.
If you're a wide-body guy like me, because that Integra has seats that are actually comfortable and don't squeeze my sides and make me feel like I'm old and fat.
Yeah. So I haven't driven an Integra recently, but I'm not going to pick the Integra.
Remember? No.
I'm going to go. When you said Acura, immediately my mind kind of went to the MDX.
Okay.
The MDX kind of was one of the earlier, you know, these.
You're a sedan man.
Well, no.
Oh, no. You want the
three-row.
No,
I want the big.
You want the
big
crossover.
I want the big SUV. And in my mind, when you said it, it was the one kind of like near luxury.
All right.
Big SUV.
So why not the new ZDX, the electric one? I just drove that, by the way.
No, that's not where my mind goes. My mind goes to the MDX because it's been around for like decades and it's really good. And they also have a performance version of it. So that's where my mind is.
Do they still
going.
Have Super Hikas all-wheel drive?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
S-H-A-W-D.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, super handling.
Yeah.
Super handling. That's where my
mind. Why did I say hikers? I thought it was hikers. Is that the, no? Where did I get that from? What part of my brain did that jump from?
Maybe the Audi portion of your brain. I don't know where.
Well, that'd be quattro. I'm not that stupid.
Okay. No. Right.
Super handling, all-wheel drive.
Super handling.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the problem with the MDX. Not. I shouldn't say the problem. It's a very good car. It's just you know, a little too common. You see a lot of them, and that's fine because people like three-row SUVs. And the Acura version of you know, that car is certainly.
But look at the broad shoulders of this thing, Roman. I mean, it's nice. They have a Type S version of it too.
And look at the giant Acura logo on the front of it. Oh my God!
Why are the logos getting so big these days? All right, I think that it's because they're hiding the radar behind it, right?
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Alfa Romeo, a brand that is.
Aha!
I think they're holding on by the skin of their teeth. It's a Stellantis company.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Brand, and they don't have a lot of vehicles in America. Having said that, they do have more than Chrysler or Dodge. But the ones, of course, that people know and the ones that you would think you would love is the Giulia, which actually was there when they unveiled it, the Stelvio, and, of course, the one that I think probably would go for is the Alfa Romeo Tonale, which is kind of the small crossover. And the reason I like it is because it's a plug-in hybrid. I got to drive it in Italy. All right, well, 33 Stradale. The 33 Stradale?
I'm going to go with the 33 Stradale because...
Because you can afford that?
Well, it's sold out, I know, but it's only like $500,000 and it's gorgeous. No, I'm not going to go for Stradale. I can't afford it. We'll never be able to afford one.
Well, the Tonale is better than its name, right? Because the rub that everybody says about it is the toenail. And you can, of course, get... an American-branded version of that here as well, called the Hornet.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a second. But it's, you know, the one I drove, and I'm a sucker for red, had this beautiful, gorgeous Russo red, right? This very classic Alfa Romeo deep, dark red, which is different from the Ferrari red. I love the fact that it's a plug-in hybrid, that you can drive it on electricity, and then when you run out of electricity, you can switch over to gas. It's also kind of the right size. It's not too big. It's not too small. And I got to blow the doors off when I was in Italy, a few other Italian drivers, and that was so much fun because it is very quick with both the electric and gasoline powertrains.
I'm going to go with a Stelvio, dude.
Okay.
I guess I'm still on the SUV kick
here.
And I last year, actually almost a year ago, Roman, I went to Formula One in Las Vegas, and I got to experience both the Giulia and the Stelvio. And a performance driver, Eric, from Stellantis, took me for a hot lap on the track, which includes the strip, the Las Vegas famous strip. And we were going about 160 miles an hour in that sedan. But I love the SUV as well because it's kind of tight. It's really kind of playful. It's really sporty, maybe even more sporty than the MDX, of course, because it's a little bit smaller. I love the Stelvio, dude.
Yeah, you know, the one that my heart goes to but not my head is the Giulia, especially the Quattrofoglio, right?
Oh, yeah.
The sporty version of the four-door sedan. The problem I have with that car is that it's just getting a little long in the tooth. It came out kind of long in the tooth, right? It's beautiful. It's sexy. It's incredibly well mannered on the road. It drives probably the best out of everything that Alfa Romeo makes. But then you start to look at that dated infotainment, and it just feels like you're sitting in a car from, you know, maybe 10 years ago, unfortunately. And that's why I would have a hard time, because from the outside, I would do that look back, but from the inside, it'd be like, ugh.
That's why I like the Stelvio also in the Alfa Romeo brand, because it's not very common. You don't see very many of them. Because like you said, you may see an MDX on every street, but you will not see a Stelvio on every street. And I think I like that because of that, because it's very unique. But yeah, it's a little bit long in the tooth on technology, and the Quadrifoglio versions are kind of going away. You know, they're phasing some of them out. So yeah.
Great used car to buy. I bet you could get a...
Well, with a caveat, Ramon. Yeah. Because...
Giulia Stelvio Quattrofoglio. Giulia Quattrofoglio. My Italian. A Giulia...
Quadrifoglio.
With the little, four leaf
clover. They're not known for their reliability. So if you're buying a used one, be very careful of that, because you need to know exactly what you're buying.
All right, let's move on to Aston Martin. I actually just got behind the wheel of the DBX 707, which is, their crossover or SUV. And I got to drive that in Italy when it first came out. And I got to tell you, it's not my cup of tea, Andre.
Why not?
It's kind of this weird mix of like modern technology and old British drawing room. It just feels like it's, trying too hard. So what happened, of course, was that, Porsche was struggling. The Boxster kind of saved them, but they still weren't, kicking butt. And then somebody at Porsche decided, we need to build a family hauler. And they built the Cayenne, and the Cayenne became a number one seller. And it just, opened up the company.
Yeah.
And then every other car company that was building high-end exotic sports cars, saw that and said to themselves, we need to build a four-door crossover, right? One of the other ones that did it that worked really well was Lamborghini with the Urus. So the Urus is their number one seller. It accounts for more than 50% of their sales. But by the time Aston Martin got around to it and Maserati got around to it, people had kind of seen that trick and they were kind of getting bored with it. And here's the thing. If you're going to build, and also you're looking...
I'm looking at the Vanquish right now.
Yeah.
I'm on Aston Martin's side.
The problem is, and I've never driven one of these. We don't work with Ferrari, but like the Ferrari Parasegue, which is their... They didn't build a crossover.
Yeah,
it's more of a four-door...
Like a wagon, almost.
Kind of wagon.
Yeah.
Short, not tall wagon. The problem with them is that these cars are all about utility. And at the end of the day, the DBX... is great for somebody like me and my wife, but if you're going to stuff somebody in those back seats, it better be kids. It's kind of form over function, if you see what I'm saying.
Of course, I lust over an Aston Martin. I'm looking at their website right now.
Now the new Vantage we haven't driven.
No.
But in terms of if you were to ask me what car I would want, it would be the Vantage. You just had it up there.
Yeah, here, hold on.
Such a sexy-ass car.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's what I was going to say also about the Vanquish and the Vantage. They're just remarkably stunning designs. And they used to have a V12. I mean, they still have a V12, but I think they're also moving to V8s, right? And they're also using V8s from other manufacturers, not just kind of their own designs. And to me...
When they're using Mercedes powertrains.
Yeah. To me, when I think about a storied brand like Aston Martin, I want them to do everything, right?
Yeah.
I want them to do, the powertrain themselves, the design themselves, the interior themselves. I understand why they're using Mercedes powertrains, because they're so amazing. Those V8 engines are really, really amazing.
Well, they were also using Mercedes infotainment for a while, and they had the previous generation, so you always felt like, look, if you're paying... Aston Martin money, you should feel like you're getting
bespoke stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Not like hand-me-downs from Mercedes, right?
Even though it's good.
Yeah, even though it's good.
Even though it's good stuff.
Yeah, I think that's always hamstrung them. And of course, is it Lance Stroll now who's kicking butt in Formula One?
And his dad owns the company now.
Yeah,
right. The Strolls.
Yeah. So there's a lot of I think spotlight on the brand, and I think that the brand itself, is doing much better. Oh my God, look how good that
looks. It's sexy.
Yeah, that is so sexy.
Yes.
Yeah, so you know, I've got old Vanquish money, not new Vanquish money. So I guess if I were to be truthful, I would get an old Vanquish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be kind of my choice. All right, let's move on to a much easier one, Audi, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, and you used to be a huge Audi fan. When I met you, you owned an Audi.
Yeah, I did. So actually in high school, I had an Audi 5000 Quattro. Later, I had an Audi A6. I also had many VWs. So I used to be a huge, huge Audi guy.
So the easy answer, unfortunately, no longer possible, is the R8. Right?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
The word is that's coming back as an all-electric car. But unfortunately, the R8 is gone. But once again, my choice. My choice.
Where are you going?
My choice for my budget would be first-gen R8. Those are now coming down to like $50,000 or $60,000. You know, the ones with the beautiful kind of blades on the side. I would definitely get the 8, not the 10, and I would definitely get the manual. I'm talking about the 8-cylinder, not the 10, because the 10 was a rebranded Lamborghini engine. But you paid a lot more for it. You got a lot more complexity, but it wasn't any quicker or any more fun than the 8-cylinder. Now let's talk about the new ones. You've got the RS e-tron GT up, which is a beautiful car, basically a Porsche Taycan, rebranded as an Audi. What do you think of that?
So one of my wife's friends, and actually our mutual friend, owns one, not the RS version, but also just an e-tron GT. And already, not even being an RS, it's a sexy car. It's quick as heck. And that's where my current, like if you ask me right now, if I had some money and I wanted to buy a brand new Audi, I think I would go for an e-tron GT.
Yeah.
Four doors. And you could still put four people in there. And really, really quick and really sexy.
If I had a bell, we could ring the first electric car.
That's what I'm choosing. It's electric.
Well, you know what I'm going to choose?
What?
I just drove it, the Avant, the RS Avant.
Oh, RS6?
Avant, yeah, the station wagon. Oh, did I make you choose and change your vote, Andre?
I am, wow, I'm changing my vote.
Yeah, I just drove that.
It was incredible. I've never driven an RS6.
Oh, my God. It sounds so good. The exhaust on that are these
huge
ovals. Oh, it's so beautiful and sexy. The downside to it is very heavy.
It's kind of like an M5 now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, M5 is heavier, but.
And out of that generation of wagons, it actually, compared to the M5 estate and the Mercedes, it had the least amount of horsepower, which is still obscene because it had like it has like over 600 horsepower. You got it there?
Yeah, it's right here.
Yeah, and there's this.
Wait a minute. Starting at $126,000?
Yeah, look at it. Come on, take my money. Just take my money. Look at that.
We may have to sell a lot of things we own in order to get one of these.
You know, here's the good news, Andre. Yeah. I was watching the news yesterday, and they're saying that gas is going down to $3 a gallon in much of the country.
Well, it's actually below three here in Colorado.
And you're going to want that when you when you start filling up that monster. But yes. it was such a dream to drive that. There's also a special variant of it. I forget what it's called. It's like $200,000. They put a sticker package on it.
Oh, like graphics, graphics.
Yeah, and then they change the seats.
Yes.
But it's
sorry, I'm changing my vote completely. Right. Forget the e-tron GT. It has to be RS6 Avant.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yes. It has to.
All right. Let's move on to the Bs, which means that we're at BMW.
Okay. Well, we already mentioned them quite a bit. This
is going to be a tough one. I already told you what I want. I want the new M2.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Not the M3, yeah.
That's
can
what
you find
want.
That light blue one?
Hold on a second.
Let's see if you can find that one.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I want that, because like I say, it's the spiritual successor to the M3, and it's actually – there's a color.
There it is.
It's actually, dare I say, because people always give us crap when I say this, and I understand it when I say it's kind of sort of affordable. It starts at $62,000.
Well, in the world of $100,000 cars, yeah, it is. It's a little bit more affordable.
Yeah, and I think it's the one that is approachable. It's the one that, you know, is probably out of their entire lineup, at least in my mind, the most fun to drive, and I can't wait to drive it when I get to BMW Test Fest. Here
it is.
There it is.
I mean, like you said.
And you can get in a manual, dude. A manual. How many other BMWs can get in a manual?
Not many.
Not the M5.
Not many that I know of. Dude, I went to Arizona to drive when it first came out.
Yeah.
I drove both the manual one and an automatic version one, transmission one. And I love both of them.
How much horsepower? It's like 500 something, 560. It's a lot.
No, not an M2. No, I mean, 400? It's 400 something. Yeah, but it's plenty. The issue, like you said, with all these cars, especially the M2, it's getting a little bit bigger and heavier. You know, so there's a little bit of that going on with it. Look, but it's still the smallest one.
And it doesn't have that horrible, awful beaver tooth grill, right? It still has.
No, it's a little bit more controlled. Grill.
Yeah, it's more of the traditional kidney grill that BMWs have been known for.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
No, I love the dude, especially, you know, Scottsdale, you know, when you're going kind of north and east out of there, and you have beautiful roads and you could just accelerate and have that sound. And they have a lot of tech in these cars, dude. They have like rev matching and all kinds of, you know, stability control settings. It's a cool car.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that the one? What would you choose? What's your choice?
Okay. I'm not going to go for the M2. That's yours. That's yours. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to... Oh gosh, that's so hard.
Now here's a.
You know what I lost after?
Hold on, let me do a little bit of a disclosure here. Andre owns a BMW i3, and I own a BMW i8.
Okay, we have to be very clear about this.
Yes,
we do.
We do
own those.
Yeah.
You know what I want? I want the next i3.
But there's no next i3.
No. We don't see one yet coming.
The next i3 is the iX, Andre.
Okay. Well, so. So I'm not going to say the i3 because, first of all, it's not on sale right now. But I am going to say X7. I'm going to go the hugest way possible, the big SUV. You drove it across country.
I drove it across country, yeah. It's a gorgeous car.
Yeah.
Especially if you get the M version. Oh, my God. That thing is, you know.
Here we go. Alpina.
Would you get the XM? We had that at the office.
No, just, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
That answers the question, what would a Hungarian gangster drive, unfortunately.
No, I wouldn't. Just the XM styling is just a little bit too much for me.
You know, there's that cliche from Spinal Tap, it goes to 11. That goes to like 22.
Yeah. But look at this, Alpina XB7, basically an X7 3-row SUV.
How much is that bad boy?
I think it's insanely expensive.
Oh, yeah, you're looking at well into the
152 only starting price.
Only. I love the Alpina wheels on it. Those are gorgeous.
Yeah, dude. So we're talking about dreaming here. I mean, if we are actually dreaming, I think an Alpina designed X7, it's roomy, it's huge, it's American sized. I think I would go for that. Just humongous SUV.
All right. How about we move on to Bentley? They only have really three cars, right? They have the Continental.
But they've been in the news recently.
There's a new Continental, I believe, which we haven't been invited on, so I can't speak to that. They have a Flying Spur, and of course they have the Bentayga. I can't speak intelligently to this because the only one I've driven – actually, I've driven the Continental Sport, but that was a long time
ago. Well, didn't we – you and I drove a convertible on ice?
We drove it on ice, yeah. We took it up to Idaho.
Georgetown.
Yeah, Georgetown. Did some ice racing on it.
Yes.
I did drive the Bentayga. I don't like the Bentayga. The looks of it just don't work for me.
We recently had one. We had the extended wheelbase version.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's overwrought and over-designed. Yeah.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Here's my rub with the Bentayga, and I'm fortunate to drive it. Remember, it was here last Christmas, and I was fortunate enough to have it for a couple days over Christmas break. Visually, I loved it, right? The appearance of it, from especially the long version just looks a little bit better in my eye. But getting into it, starting it, amazing. The engine comes to life. But you know what I didn't like was
that?
The aged interface, the infotainment system, the way it interacts with you as a driver or a passenger, it's really dated. That was my rub with the Bentayga and some other Bentleys that we've had over the years. It's just not, you know, when you're getting into like a Tesla and everything is instantly integrated into your phone, you have a big screen, it's very clear. The Bentayga was the opposite.
Yeah, so the entertainment was dated.
Yeah, it was very dated. And you would say, okay, if you're buying a Bentley, that's probably not top of your priority, you know, to have the perfect user interface. But you're paying a lot of money for this. You're paying $300,000 or more for some of these vehicles. And I think they really need to step up their game as far as just, I mean, they have the beautiful design, beautiful interiors, beautiful powertrains, but they need to step up their design, I think.
So there's a company, I'm trying to find the name of the company because I can't find it. But
their software design, I meant.
Yeah, yes. they do the blower Bentley and they do like... The
old stuff?
Yeah, but they do like a smaller version of it. So remember like when the Bentley boys were around and they raced the Bentley blowers? They do a smaller version of it.
Like a scaled down version,
okay. Yeah. And that just seems so cool. And it's drivable. It's like done to perfection. It's almost as expensive as a Bentley.
How much money are we talking about? Same like crazy money?
Yeah, yeah. It's like $100,000 and you got to wait and it's not easy to get. But that's the Bentley that I would get if I were getting a Bentley right now.
Look at some of these interiors, Roman. I mean, they have craftsmanship. I mean, really beautiful design. But just the way it interacts, it was dated as far as just the technology that's the interface itself.
Some might say classic, Andre. Some might say, okay. Yeah. Some might say, you know, timeless. And some might say dated. All right, let's move on to Bollinger. That's something, as a truck guy, you know a lot about. So we've gone down quite the roller coaster ride with Bollinger. Remember when that prototype came out and they had like the pass-through through the firewall? It was this really cool, almost Defender-like electric off-roader. And then that all went away.
Yeah, we were really fortunate because we were early, right? I interviewed Robert Bollinger.
In 2015.
Several times. Yeah, yeah. You know, this is what they make now.
They make a chassis cab.
They make a chassis cab over commercial truck. So
can you find the original one? Like the one that had everybody
losing their minds over it?
They went from that to this. Basically what happened is it's hard to start a car company unless you have hundreds of millions of dollars. And so I think what happened is they kind of had to follow the market. They ran out of money. But show them the original Bollinger, which he designed, which was so cool.
Exactly. So here is one.
Yeah, there you
so
go.
So it was really boxy.
The B1 and B2, yeah.
Yeah, B1 and B2. It was really boxy, really cool looking. Look at this, like military style, just insanely cool four-wheel drive vehicles that never really came to market ever. I mean, they've tried. Some other people bought their rights to this vehicle, but they have yet to see a production version of a Bollinger B1 or B2.
Yeah, and so go back to the chassis cab.
Do you want one of these, Roman?
No, God. And you know how they went from building that to chassis cabs?
I think there was a path of least resistance. I don't know. I mean, I really haven't like gone deep with some of those guys recently. But I think what happened was they ran into some obstacles, you know, building production versions profitably of the B1 and the B2. But you could make some of the commercial vehicles profitably because there's also a lot of incentives from the governments, right? When the fleet guys buy a lot of these trucks, there's a lot of government incentives that are included with that. It's like cities buying fleets. So I think it was a path of least resistance. And now they're making chassis cabs.
There you go. And the next brand is easy because, well, obviously me and Andre are going to like the same one. In fact, I think you will too, and that is, of course, Bugatti and the Tourbillon. I don't know how you pronounce that.
The most recent one?
Yeah, it's the only one they make. We have never laid eyes on one. We have never sat in one, except for what we've read online. So there's nothing intelligent we can say on it. So let's just move on to Buick.
Yeah, move on. That's untouchable. Yeah. The Bugatti is untouchable.
Well, hey, Bugatti, you know, there are people who afford such cars that listen to this podcast and watch our videos. So I'm sure that, you know, we could help you No, I'm not sure.
No. And I think they're all sold out. I mean, aren't they?
I don't know.
Is it already sold out? Probably.
It's like, you know, this becomes a who's, you know, what is longer in the journalism world. So if you're an automotive journalist and you get to drive a tourbillon, Tommy would know how to pronounce it. It's the little mechanism in your watch, right? That keeps it from losing time because of gravity, as far as I understand. Anyway, let's go to Buick.
Yeah, so that's a very natural transition.
Yeah, right? Yeah. We've had a lot of Buicks: the Encore, the GX, the Envision, and the Enclave.
Yeah, they're all here.
Which is your favorite?
You know what surprised me this year about the Buick is that when you look at the some of their base vehicles, they're very affordable. Like we had the Encore GX, right? That starts at $26,000. The Envista starts at $22,400. So that was surprising to me because I think of Buick traditionally as a little bit more luxurious brand, but to have this brand be that affordable, I was shocked.
So for a long time, Buick's been kind of, and I would say they're still kind of lost in the woods, right? So for a long time, they were rebranding Opals, and then General Motors sold Opal, and so they could no longer. I guess they could have kept rebranding them, but they decided to actually start rebranding Chevys. And you're right; it's gone from kind of being so. Like once upon a time, you know, Cadillac was a doctor's car, Buick was a dentist's car, and Chevy was the plumber's car, I guess, or something like that. If you want to be
like an everyman car,
Yeah. And Buick kind of, you know, if you couldn't afford a Cadillac, you would buy a Buick. But today it seems like they're kind of moving a little bit more down market. And
more mainstream, maybe.
Bringing affordable luxury to a different class. What is striking about, especially that Buick that you're looking at, is just how affordable it is.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's easy to make fun of it, maybe. You could say it's too cheap. You may say the interior looks, you know, basic, or some of the materials look basic. But I think that's not what this car is about anymore. We're looking at the Encore GX right now.
I'd probably go with the Encore GX. I think that's the one that I would also get.
It's really affordable. Yeah. I mean, it's really easy to use. You jump into it. Yeah. You know where everything is. You know, it's very traditional. And I think that's where I would go also.
Yeah, I would say, guys, you know, don't overlook Buick. They're kind of punching their way back up. And of course, a lot of these are rebranded South Korean cars, right? You know that.
And a lot of the design language is also kind of South Korean.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of them were sold in China as well. I mean, that's kind of where Buick has been making most of their money.
If they were North Korean, days. They would look like a brick, I somehow feel.
I don't think they would be North Korean.
Yeah. All right, Andre. We're never going to get through this list.
Well, we're on C's now.
Yeah, Cadillac.
Cadillac. Cadillac. Oh, yes. This is going to be easier for me. Do you want to start or?
Well, I would take the Escalade.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that was a surprise.
Yeah.
Why are we flipping on this? Because I wasn't going to say the Escalade. I mean, the Escalade is cool. Don't get me wrong. I was going to go Blackwing all day long, Roman.
I've never driven the Blackwing. Never even been near those cars, but I have been in the Escalade, the high-performance one, the CTS-V, with that massive V8 and an incredible exhaust. Remember, we did a drag race with it?
Uh-huh.
So I love the fact that, you know, it's about as American as it gets. You know, that the Blackwings, those compete, you know, with BMW, of course, with Audi.
Yeah, with M cars, AMG cars.
Yeah, but nobody competes with the Escalade. Nobody. As far as I know, maybe the Maybach GLS.
You could argue that too, but Escalade has its own brand. I mean, Escalade could split off Cadillac, you know, from Cadillac and become its own brand by itself. Yeah. I mean, it's that powerful. But what's drawing me to like a CT5 V series or the Blackwing series? I mean, the price is high at $93,000. But what's drawing me to that is, you know, they have the manual transmission options. They have V8, 668 horsepower, Roman, in some of their versions. And I think it's sexy. I mean, look at this new one, the CT5 V-Series. I mean, I think it's a good-looking sedan.
I agree. I mean, they're very good-looking cars, and they're bringing American muscle
kind of back
to the luxury segment. but I'd still go with the Escalade.
Okay. No, that's fair. It's weird how we flipped. I mean, we started at Acura. I went to the SUV and you went for the sedan, and then we just flipped on this one.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. All right, let's go to Canoe. You've got some You've got some reservations with Canoe, Andre.
Canoe, hello. Are you there?
You put some reservations in. Yeah, I believe they're a little people mover slash truck thing.
Yeah, so I have two reservations for two different Canoe vehicles. Canoe is a startup company. So I originally, when they came out, 3-4 years ago, I put a reservation for a van, right?
Yep.
So they have several electric vans. And I went for a ride in one in Indianapolis. It was a lot of fun. And then I also put a reservation in for a pickup truck version of it because, you know, I'm a truck dude. So look at this, Roman. How cool is that? Little cab over truck that, you know, is compact and cool looking.
How long before they start building chassis cabs?
Very soon.
Very soon, yeah. That might be a company that, once again, very hard to start a new car company.
Yeah.
And they moved their production or their headquarters down to the south, right? Because they were.
I think Oklahoma is one of the states, yeah. And also Texas. They have some presence in Texas as well.
So they came out strong at the LA Auto Show a few years ago. Everybody was very impressed with what they were building. It was a different look at, you know, how a van should be structured, different look at a truck. And somehow maybe they ran out of money, but I don't know what's happening with them, but it's not good.
Well, so far
they're very quiet, which is
the only thing they have here on their website right now is United States Postal Service van that they're working with.
Yeah.
NASA van to carry astronauts from, you know, one building to the next building.
I thought the Postal Service went with Oshkosh.
They did, of course. And then Walmart delivery vans. They're working with Walmart. But what about consumers?
Are they working with them or are they just putting in – are those just pictures of things just, that they hope to be working with?
Just listen to this press release.
All right.
Walmart to purchase 4,500 Canoe electric delivery vehicles to be used for last mile deliveries. So they said they signed a deal for 4,500 vehicles. But I haven't seen them. Have you seen them at Walmart's?
No, because that thing looks like the same going backwards and forward.
It could go backwards or forwards. It looks the same.
It's like the Emmy.
Yes.
It's identical from the front or from the back.
So there you go. So I'm upset that there hasn't been a lot of movement or even communication. They haven't emailed me anything.
Yeah, and when you've got a couple $100 down, it's a little worrisome, isn't it?
I'm always going to pull my money back, Roman.
All right, next one, Andre, an easy one for all of us. We don't have to think about this too hard. Chevrolet. I'm going to guess, I don't know, there's a couple you could go for. Obviously the Silverado, but we're talking about cars, so we're not going to do cars. We're not going to do trucks, we're going to do cars. What non-truck would you get?
I think it's super simple for me.
You're going to go Corvette?
I'm going to go E-Ray all day long. Corvette,
first
E-Ray.
First all-wheel drive Corvette.
Yes, all-wheel drive. Look, it's shown here in Utah, I think, on snow. It's all-wheel drive. It's got a V8 in the mid position. It's relatively affordable. I mean, when you're talking about Ferraris or Lamborghinis or other high-end cars, the E-Ray starts at $106,000, which is like a third of a price of some of the other cars.
Yeah, the affordable supercar.
Yeah.
But as much as I love the E-Ray, Andre, I would go for a Tahoe.
What?
Yeah, I love the Tahoe. I think the Tahoe is kind of the everyman's people mover. It's got a great look. There's an off-road version that you can also buy, which we've taken off-road. There's an on-street version. It's just a very usable. It's got a lot of bandwidth to it. And I'm going to go this time, not for sexiness, but for practicality.
And there's a new 2025 version that's out or coming out very, very soon. I just drove it.
Yeah, much more elegant.
Tows
it a boatload, you know, literally.
Yeah, it tows. I think its two-wheel drive rating is about 8,400 pounds.
Which is a lot.
So for an SUV, that's quite a bit. So you surprised me once again.
Yeah, and I don't want the Suburban because I'm going to get the Cadillac version of that, right? I'm
going to
get the Escalade. So now I'm going to get the little smaller three-row.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they've been a little bit delayed in my view. You know, the new models, the 2025s, they're built in Arlington, Texas, which is, you know, America, middle, you know, very near Dallas, Fort Worth. So hopefully customers will be getting their Tahoes, new ones, very soon.
Yeah, this is the bread and butter for GM, right? This is what keeps the company's door open. So they got to get this right and the Suburban right. The Cadillac Escalade, you know, that's a cherry on top. But for Chevy, the Tahoe,
It's a workhorse.
It's a workhorse, yeah. All right, let's move on to another one, which is simple because they only make one car, and that is Chrysler and the Pacifica. So it's either a minivan or nothing, Andre. There is supposedly an airflow somewhat coming. I don't know. They keep changing it.
Soonish or not.
Yeah, it's their new electric car. They kind of came out with it a few years ago, and then they said, oh, no, we were just kidding. That was a concept. So we don't know what's happening with the airflow, but right now the only Chrysler is the Pacifica, which is a fine minivan. Right, it's the only plug-in hybrid right now. Still, is there another plug-in hybrid?
Yeah, there is.
The Kia Carnival is now. Is that a plug-in hybrid?
Or at least a regular hybrid.
A regular hybrid. Yeah.
You know what about Pacifica? I remember testing it.
It is a plug-in hybrid, the Pacifica.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I remember going to an event. I want to say like 9 years ago, 10 years ago when it came out.
Yes.
So, and I always kind of liked it. I know it doesn't have the best reputation as far as reliability. I mean, it's had a couple of issues along the way with the reliability, but I think it's, you know, I just got into it at Granger Motors. We went to visit our friends at Granger Motors in Iowa, and they had a couple of them on the lot. I got into it. The interior is a little bit dated. There's a DVD player, you know, name other new cars with a DVD player. I don't know. I don't know many others, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's still a nice people mover.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, Chrysler with Lee Iacocca,
yes,
right, started the minivan, and they've always been in the forefront with stow-and-go seating, now with hybridization, and the only downside is you can't get the all-wheel drive with the plug-in hybrid. You got to pick one or the other.
No, you cannot. You're right.
And the battery lives where the drive shaft would live, but they can engineer around that.
Well, they need new product, Roman. I mean, that's the whole thing about Chrysler. They need new product.
Yes.
What else does need new product?
The next company on our list is DeLorean Motor Company. I know nothing about DeLorean, so I'm going to skip them. So we're going to go to Dodge.
Dodge. They also need new product.
Well, they have new product. They just haven't come out with a new product yet. So they have the Hornet, which we talked about.
Yes.
Right, which is the Tonale rebranded. You know, they used to have the Charger and the Challenger.
They discontinued.
They still have the Durango.
Durango is there.
Yeah, I just drove the last Silver Bullet, which is kind of the third last version of the Hellcat.
That keeps coming back.
And it was fun. It was good. Yes. It's also getting a little dated now. The interior is starting to look a little old, you know. But they do have a new electric car coming, which you went to see in Detroit not that long ago.
Yeah, we did see it. And there's not great news about it because it's slightly delayed again. So I really want to be able to get into one, the Charger electric cars. But we can't. We haven't driven them yet because they're not available. So I'm not going to pick my favorite here.
I'm going to go with the Durango.
Okay.
There's much to choose from.
Yeah, there's a safe choice.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Ferrari now. We don't work with Ferrari. We're not a Ferrari.
We're not approved, a Ferrari house.
Approved media outlet. They just introduced the F80, which is in Europe number two of the Holy Trinity, right? So the Holy Trinity are these hypercars that come out every like 10 years or so. So the McLaren W1 was the first of the Holy Trinity. Now the F80 got introduced. And we're still waiting for the Porsche version to come out. And that's all I have to say about Ferrari, Andre.
Yeah, we don't test them.
Did you like the new
F80? Yeah. Yeah, I saw pictures of it, and they also had it kind of on the track.
It's a V6.
Hybrid.
Twin turbo.
It's hard, but it has like 1,200 horsepower.
Yeah, no, but it's still a six-cylinder.
Yeah, I don't get it, and I think I may never get it. The only thing I want to say about Ferrari, Roman, remember several years back, like 8 years ago or 10 years ago, we went to Cars and Coffee, and there was an F40 there.
Yep.
A local guy brought his F40, which is really an amazing classic, you know, legend. And he took me for a ride. It was a brutal experience because it had such turbo lag. There's like nothing. And then just a rocket ship, and just takes off. And of course, he crashed it. The next day, or that day, or that same day. Not with me in the car, but when he went home, he crashed it.
So another company that doesn't have much here, Fiat, right?
Oh, okay.
I just drove the new 500e. I think they still have the 500X crossover, or they're still selling it. I'm not sure. I don't know what's happening.
One of those companies that needs new product. The X is still listed. No, wait a minute. Roman, I just went to fiatusa.com,
yeah,
and it says 2023 Fiat 500X. Isn't that like 2 years ago?
Yeah. It wasn't a great car to begin with. And
it's still old.
Look, the problem with I love the 500. It's cute. It's a city car. It's just freaking expensive. The red version starts at about $33,000. I just learned that they closed down the factory. I think it's Torino because of, lack of sales on the 500. I think if they really wanted to, make it interesting, they'd bring the convertible over because that would
be. Or maybe a four-door version. Something.
Well, the convertible would be the only electric
convertible in existence.
In existence, or that you can buy right now. So, at least in America.
They're in trouble.
Yeah.
At least in the U.S.
I guess you could argue that the Jeep Wrangler 4xe is a convertible, but.
But it's not a full electric vehicle.
No. One. But full electric. They're cute, but they're just like $7,000 too much.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
They're in trouble here in America. And another company that's in trouble is Fisker.
Oh, wow. They're bankrupt. I mean,
they're gone.
Yeah. But I feel terrible for people who purchased Oceans.
Yeah, I know. If you purchased an Ocean at full price and now those things are worth, $20,000, $30,000 a year.
And you may not be able to repair them?
Yeah, because they may brick itself. They're good. It was a good idea. And it's Fisker's second failed company, Heinrich Fisker.
So I don't think we can give him a third chance.
I don't know if he's going to have a third swing at the bat.
I wouldn't give him another chance.
No. So, yeah. What is there to say? It was a good concept built by Magna. But the software
other concepts like the Alaska truck.
That was gorgeous.
That's some nice concepts.
Yeah.
And it's all gone.
Yeah. And I think we can end on this one. Actually, we'll do two more.
Okay.
All right. Because they're both relatively easy. Ford, my man, Ford. Well,
That's a big company.
So what Ford would you get?
Not a truck.
Not a truck. Not the F-150. Not the Super Duty.
Not a Maverick. Okay.
Bronco.
You choosing Bronco?
Yeah. I'd get the Bronco.
The big one or the small one?
Not the sport.
Okay.
We just had the Mustang, so I kind of had that for a year, so was very happy with it. Great car, but I'd go for the Bronco. We also had that, but it's been a while, so I'd get the Sasquatch version. I wouldn't get the Ranger, the Raptor Bronco. It's just too much. But that is a hell of a car. Remember we had the Everglades that we took up.
Yeah, it was beautifully capable. It was a very capable vehicle. I think I would have to agree with you. I mean, I love the Mustang, but it's kind of tight. I mean, it's a small vehicle. I still have a family, so just for me, I think right now, as far as enthusiast, I like that Ford is doing a lot of enthusiast things.
Yeah.
They have a lot of fun vehicles, fun versions. We're going to see several of them at SEMA, right? I think I want to go to Bronco. Also, Tommy Reese just did a comparison, a base Bronco versus a base Land Rover Defender versus a base Jeep. So we'll have to wait and see how that comparison, really cool comparison.
Go to LTFL.com.
LTFL.com. Which Bronco? You said Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Me. Everglades. That was a cool one.
Yeah, Everglades.
I like that.
I'm going to change my vote. I'm going to go to Everglades too. It comes with a winch.
And there's a little snorkel.
It's really cool. Yeah. It's really cool. It's the one that I think people forget about, right? Because people get the Big Bend. Is it Big Bend? Big Bend?
Yes, Big Bend.
Yeah.
Not a small Bend.
Big Bend.
Big Bend.
And you get the lift from the factory, you get the snorkel, you get the winch, it's all there. Not cheap, but it's all there. All right, and then we'll end up, and this is a good one too, on GMC.
Okay. Like I said, I'm going to see a Sierra EV GMC very soon in the Bay Area.
They only have one car, Andre, really.
Well, actually, no. Well, no.
Right, yeah.
No. A Yukon, you cannot pick the Yukon. You already picked the Tahoe and an Escalade.
I'm not picking the Yukon.
You cannot do it. You have to choose between really Acadia or the Terrain.
No. Hummer EV.
SUV?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you're going for the Hummer EV
SUV.
I'm going
to go big again. I'm going to get
that.
Why not? I just took it because I just had a chance to drive it to Moab. It was so much fun off-road. Really enjoyed it. And it actually has gotten much better since we had our Hummer pickup truck. So quietly, behind the scenes, GM has been actually improving these. And most people don't know that. They think that, it's still kind of it kind of came out a little half-baked, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now we're 2-3 years down the road, it's a really fun truck. I was just in it. I was just on a program in California, and they picked us up in it. And I forgot how much I like it. It's another one of those cars that's a little ahead of its time. It's got a massive battery. It's very heavy, but it is the Hummer of electric vehicles for sure.
I recently drove one in around Detroit when I was at an event over there. And you know what's hilarious about that thing? It has a lot of lean. You know, when you smash the accelerator pedal, it just kind of leans back. When you brake, it leans forward. It has amazing amount of suspension. And sometimes it's a little bit unnerving how much it leans. But it's just fun.
Here's something funny on this list I'm using. They have Hummer as their own brand.
Well, it's not a – no, it's within GMC.
Well, I mean, we buy it from the GMC dealer. Yeah.
So I would not pick the Hummer.
Okay.
I would go for the new GMC Terrain. It's their smallest crossover. It's being redesigned for 2025. I just saw it in Detroit once again at the event, and I loved it because they just updated the interior. It's pretty spacious. It's more affordable than most other GMCs, and I'm going to go Terrain – all the time. Look at it. It's kind of cool. Terrain all the time.
You wouldn't get a Yukon?
No. I would consider a truck.
That's the...
I would consider it a truck.
That's the American unholy trinity, right?
The Yukon, the Tahoe, and the Escalade. Right,
exactly. We'll have the Europeans have their holy trinity. We'll have our unholy trinity here. You know what? Do you want to do two more? We got time. We'll do two more. You want to do Genesis?
Yeah, since we're here.
Yeah, so Genesis G90, the Genesis GV60, the electrified GV70, any of those kind of ring a bell that you might like?
No, it rings lots of bells because Genesis has been very generous because they've invited us to several New York auto shows, and I love going to New York auto shows. And for me, Genesis kind of represents New York. In a way, because they've had several events in New York City around that show. I think, gosh, they're doing really well. I mean, they have a lot of cool designs.
Yeah, you know, they're really pushing the envelope in a couple of ways. First, pricing, right? So you're getting, you know, all this luxury for substantially less than you would pay for the European brands. And they're pushing the technology, right? They both have electrified and internal combustion, and they do some really cool cars.
I'm going to go with the GV80 Coupe. It was recently introduced. It's been kind of delayed-ish, in my view, because they announced it way long ago. But I like the shape. It's a little bit sporty. It's large. It's kind of like a mid-size to full-size crossover, and it's got some performance and luxury. GV80 Coupe, yeah, I think.
I'm with you on that one. I love the styling.
Is cool.
Yeah. I think it kind of the right of everything, right? Not too big, not too small.
Luxurious, but not like in your face much. Yeah.
It's cool.
I think GV80 is really a nice one, especially the coupe version, which is a little bit more sporty, a little bit more angled.
So we started in Acura, so let's end on Honda.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, good.
That's a pretty easy brand. I just got a press release from them right before we started this podcast that they sold over a million vehicles in the U.S.
They
sorted out their supply.
That's great.
Chain issues.
That's really great.
That they're really rocking it. So can't talk about the Ridgeline, of course, which is actually a really good mid-sized pickup truck, but we're talking about cars. So what?
It's very easy. I just went to Nashville to drive the new Civic Si.
Okay.
It's very super easy. I loved it. I haven't driven a Civic Si in a while, but I just drove it a couple of months ago, and I loved it. Six-speed manual. Here, let me find it. Here it is. Six-speed manual. They have really good hybrids.
The hybrids get incredible.
The hybrid is really great as well.
But I'm going to go old school. I think I'm going to go with the Accord. The new Accord is really good. It just does
everything. It is also a hybrid.
It's also a hybrid. It does just everything well. A lot of people bemoan the loss of the six-cylinder. But, you know, I drove the new Accord hybrid, and it was very comfortable. Very stylish. It's just an easy car to live with. And in a day when, you know, everything's going screen, they still have real buttons and real knobs. And they got the volume knob back. Thank you, Honda.
Yeah.
Old school, but fun and easy to live with.
Agree. I think they do cars and crossovers really, really well. But my heart is currently with the Civic Si. I think that's really a cool little car.
Well, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this first half of this, what cars we like from each brand. And we'll try to do part two sometime. I can't promise next week because I think
next week is SEMA.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a walk around at SEMA. So stay tuned for that. And Andre, what do we want to tell our Patreon supporters?
Well, first of all, thank you for your support.
Yes.
You get videos first.
Yes.
Especially recently.
And behind the scenes videos.
I purchased a new pickup truck, which we're going to be discussing on our truck podcast within a week or so. But Patreon supporters already know what it is.
Yes.
I haven't announced it here yet. But if you're
your new truck, you're
my about. Personal new truck.
Yeah, Andrew bought a new truck. So, yes.
But if you're a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/TFLcar, you already know what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do.
It's you'll be surprised. Let's put it that way. So, thank you for all your support. We hope that you get a lot of value. We certainly appreciate the fact that you guys are kind of our super fans. And if you continue, and if you want to be one of those, if you want to know what truck Andre bought before anybody else knows, head on over to patreon.com/TFLcar. And as always, head over to alltfl.com if you want to keep up with the latest and greatest in TFL videos.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
We'll see you next time. Ciao.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.